not here.
Welcome to Mondays with Millie, a podcast about the past with real relevance to the present day. I'm your host, Phil Cristofaro, and in this podcast series, I interview my 90-year-old mother-in-law, Doreen, who I affectionately call Millie, about her ordinary life and the extraordinary events which influenced it. Millie has witnessed firsthand some incredible things across 10 decades. This is a personal history which gives us some perspective about life's triumphs and challenges.
I'm falling again, I'm falling again, I'm falling. What if I'm down? What if I'm out? What if I'm someone you won't talk about? I'm falling again, I'm falling again, I'm falling.
Welcome to episode 6, season 8 of Mondays with Millie. In this episode, Millie takes us hot air ballooning. It's a subject she speaks about with great enthusiasm, and it's a memory that she remembers fondly. Please enjoy this episode of Mondays with Millie.
And the coffee's out at the Beechwood Cafe, and it kills me cause I know we've run out of things we can say. What am I now? What am I now? What if I'm someone I don't want around? I'm falling again, I'm falling again, I'm falling. What if I'm down? What if I'm out? What if I'm someone you won't talk about? I'm falling again, I'm falling again, I'm falling. And I get the feeling that you never need me again. What am I now? What am I now? What if you're someone I just want around? I'm falling again, I'm falling again, I'm falling. What if I'm down? What if I'm out? What if I'm someone you won't talk about? I'm falling again, I'm falling again, I'm falling.
Was there a particularly special thing that you did with her in any
Yes, ballooning. And that was funny because I told people, my friends and that, you know, that I was going away again. You see, they'd got used to me going every year, really. And at different times of the year sometimes, you know. And I said, and guess what? Guess what my birthday present is from my son-in-law? He's bought me a balloon trip. Well, they burst out laughing. You know, that's one way to get rid of your mother-in-law.
Wouldn't you like to ride?
But you did know that I'd all, because when I retired from work, one of the presents they gave me was a balloon trip. And what happened was I was taken ill and I had polymyalgia, rheumatica, and it was in the upper part of my body. And when I told the doctor I was going to have a balloon trip, he said, no, you mustn't do that. He said, because you physically won't be able to cope with that at the moment. He said, it'll be when you come down, if you land with a big bump, you know, you can do some damage. So I had to postpone the balloon trip. And then by the time I was able to have it, I'm afraid the balloon people went out of business. So this was a story, you know, with the family. Oh, well, she never got a balloon trip. And I think that's how you got to know that I really would have liked to go on a balloon trip. So that was that. And I can't remember the name of the place now. But she took me to this beautiful hotel and we stayed there for a few days. And then in the early hours of the morning, we had to get on this Jeep. And it was a real ramshackle old, like a wartime Jeep, you know. Well, there was no step to get into. It was dark as well, you see. And by this time, of course, my eyesight wasn't very good. And I couldn't get into this thing. I tried to put my foot in first, which was a disaster. I should have put my knees in and climbed in that way. So this guy that was doing the taking us, he just heaved me up, you know, two hands under my bottom sort of thing, and in I went. So he must have thought, I was a bit, you know, bad on my feet. Well, I wasn't in at that time. There was this misunderstanding. Anyway, when the balloon is going up, of course, it's laid on its side while they fire it up. And so there was myself and another young man who didn't look terribly well. And he said, "You two, I want you to get in now while the basket is on its side." Well, that was, I said, "No, no, I can climb in." "No, no," he said, "when we get in, we have to get in quickly." So he didn't want an old lady, you know, slowing things down. So I climbed in sideways, which was rather uncomfortable, laid sideways in a wicker basket. Anyway, then this thing was the balloon was firing all the time. Well, it was red hot, really. It felt red hot near my head. And Kirsten got quite alarmed and she suddenly threw herself forward and laid in front of me. And she said she was frightened that my hair was going to set on fire. So she's laid even nearer to it, laid in front of me. And he said, "No, no, you get out, you know." Anyway, then the balloon came upright and everyone climbed in. And it was the most marvellous, marvellous trip. It really was. There was another balloon setting off at the, more or less the same time at the other end of this. Apparently there were tulip fields, but of course the tulips were you know, they were sleeping sort of thing. They weren't in bloom, but there were the tulip fields where they set off from. And this other one had a lot. We only had, I think there were 10 people in ours. But this other one was a much bigger balloon and there were an awful lot of people in that. But we had the best ride because we went on for at least another 20 minutes longer than them. And we got higher up. And when they came down and they were radioing each other, and they radioed our pilot and said, "Don't come down here. You're up to your knees in mud." They'd landed in the wrong place. And it really was absolutely beautiful. So exciting. I wouldn't have missed that for the world.
An absolute highlight, was it?
Absolute highlight. And, of course, when we did land, I just showed off, really, and showed him that I could jump out of that basket as quick as anybody else.
didn't break an ankle or anything? Nothing?
No injuries?
No.
But then, of course, because I was supposed to be fragile, I stood on one side. I wasn't expected to help close it all down. It's quite a job, you know. You don't realise that when a balloon comes down, it all has to be, you know, flattened out and packed, folded in a certain way and packed up and everything. And everybody had to put hands too and help, all except me and this young man that wasn't very well. Hmm.
How long? Like, you know, you had to be there early in the morning. What time was
it? Oh, yes.
Or did you have lunch or something? I can't quite remember the details.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. We did do that and they provided lunch for us. And it was like as dawn was breaking when we took off. In fact, we saw dawn breaking. We saw the sun coming up. It was a wonderful sight. I'd recommend that to anybody. really to anybody. It was beautiful. But we went up, we just went higher and higher, you know. And we got a much better flight than if we'd been on the very large balloon.
You weren't worried anyone was going to call you Icarus or anything like that, were you?
Yeah.
All these things that people are trying to do to put you in harm's way. Gosh, you know.
No, it's, I do thank you for that because it really was a wonderful present.
Oh, well, it's you know, listening to you speak about it.
I said to Kirsten, thank you so much. She said, don't thank me, thank Phil. It was his idea.
Look, we've got, I think, they're some of Kirsten's favourite photos, actually, of that trip. Because you're wearing very vivid memory of you wearing a scarf.
Oh, I needed a scarf. Yes, it was very windy. I needed a scarf.
and people don't
realise. It wasn't cold.
It wasn't cold, really.
Wasn't cold.
The higher up you go, the colder it is, obviously. And
Yes, yeah.
The trip prior to that, you were we'd just been renovating our house, and you actually got to see our renovated house, which was nice, wasn't it?
You know, I did. Well, one of the trips I came on, you were living in the rented property because you had to move out for a year, didn't you?
Mm, yeah, we did.
While they did the house, but that was a nice house anyway. Yes, it was very nice, but. Because the first time I saw your house, it was, I was frightened for you because it looked as though there was nothing left, you know. Mm. And then they were building this very large room on the end and it just looked, well, I don't know. I thought, this is never going to look right, you know, because it was so, I've watched some shows since. There's one that's called, I forget what it's called now. It's from Ireland, and he partly pulls these houses down and builds them with extensions and does all sorts of beautiful things with these old houses. And it does remind me every time I watch it every lunchtime actually, and it does remind me of seeing your house, you know. And of course, we were actually walking on. There wasn't a floor properly at first, was there, at the back? You're walking on wooden spars.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, it was a big job. It took 12 months. It was
A big job, yes.
It really was.
But they did make a lovely job of it, I must admit.
I couldn't
anticipate what it was going to look like, you know, when I first saw when it was partly built. It was a bit frightening. Did you get frightened when you saw everything coming down?
When you renovate and you do a big project like that, you worry about, you know, we tossed and turned over whether we should knock it down and build something from scratch or main, you know, renovate. And you always, it's obviously a lot more complicated when you renovate because they've got to work around existing and often very old structures, you know, asbestos.
Yes.
They've got to remove asbestos from parts of it and, you know, which is, it's a nightmare. Now, asbestos is terrible stuff. Do you have problems with asbestos over in the UK? People have to remove it, you know, come and remove it.
Well, my nephew Michael has a permit to move asbestos. He hates doing the job and it's very complicated and expensive. It's expensive for them to deposit it in the right place, you know.
Hmm. When Flynn was a baby, I remember we just moved into our place and the front yard had 116 rose bushes in it. Guy was a bit of a rose fanatic and he had all these different varieties of roses. And I took Flynn to the local doctors one day in the lady who was the receptionist said to me, what's your address? And I wrote it down and she said, my father built that house. She said, she said people called it the graveyard because it looked like a graveyard with all the rose bushes. But they said that, you know, it was only single brick because it was built in the late 1940s and there was all that rationing of building materials and things. So you weren't allowed to build double brick places like they had in the decades prior. So little things like that. I like stories like that, though, just a bit of history. So we love our house. We love our house, but you know, we love coming over to you. I mean, you're dealing with a fair. You know, I was going to ask you how you coped with the heat when you came over here, because you often would. Sometimes you'd come during summer, and you know, we get up to sort of 40 degrees here, but you've had to deal with a lot of heat where you are this summer. It's been
recently, yes. I had a large fan in the loft. I brought that down, and of course the first thing I do in the morning is open all the windows, every window in the house, and even the front door sometimes I leave it open so the wind can blow through. We usually have a bit of a breeze, you know. We're very fortunate. We don't get the extreme heat. I mean, it did get to over 40 degrees in certain parts here, but I think 38 was the highest in my area.
Oh, that's unheard of, though. That's
I used to be amazed, because when we came over to you, Kirsten would do the washing, then I'd say, I'll hang the washing out for you, and while she went to work, you know, and I'd hang the washing out, and an hour later it was bone dry, and I could hang another lot out. I could have hung three loads out. And it would have dried. And that's what happened here 2 or 3 weeks ago. I put the washing out and in no time it was just dried. It was amazing. Mm. It was.
But very uncomfortable at the same time.
Oh, yes. Mm. I doubt, I did think strongly about coming to live in Australia. Well, both John and I did. But John felt that the boys were here and it wasn't fair to them, because they hadn't decided to move and it was Kirsten's choice to move away. And although he missed it terribly, he said, we'll make sure we see her every year and that's what we'll do. We're not going to worry too much about saving a lot of money for our old age. We'll just spend it on travelling backwards and forwards to Australia. And that's what we did.
And that concludes episode 6, season 8 of Mondays with Millie. In the next episode, you'll hear about the Strathmore 5000 billy cart race and the best potato cakes in the world. Or are they potato scallops? We look forward to your company again next week.
Take it back. I can unpack the baggage you left. What am I now? What am I now? What if I'm someone I don't want around? I'm falling again, I'm falling again, I'm falling. What if I'm down? What if I'm out? What if I'm someone you won't talk about? I'm falling again, I'm falling again, I'm falling. You said you care, and you missed me too. And I'm well aware I write too many songs about you. And the coffee's out at the Beechwood Cafe, and it kills me, cause I know we've run out of things we can say. What am I now? What am I now? What if I'm someone I don't want around? I'm falling again, I'm falling again, I'm falling. What if I'm down? What if I'm out? What if I'm someone you won't talk about? I'm falling again, I'm falling again, I'm falling. And I get the feeling that you never need me again. What am I now? What am I now? What if you're someone I just want around? I'm falling again, I'm falling again, I'm falling. What if I'm down? What if I'm out? What if I'm someone you won't talk about? I'm falling again, I'm falling again, I'm falling.